103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's The Sod Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM with Peter Donegan, Brian Green, Katrina Redmond. We're here till 3:30 every Friday on Dublin City FM. It's all about gardening, horticulture, landscaping. You get the gist. We're also on podcast at sodshow.com and blogging sodshow.com/news. On the line, we do have Peter Donegan. We're Peter?
Brian, how are you?
I'm good. I've got webbed feet.
Well, there are many strange features about you, Brian. Normally it's your personality, but then who am I to talk? But yeah, no, well, for some, and it is bikini weather, I am told.
I have a career as a webmaster, but now I've got webbed feet because it is so darn wet out there. What's going on in the skies?
Well, I think, as most people are probably aware, like, we would have had rain consistently over the last week. So from about the 4th of November straight through to, what are we today, the 14th, somewhere around about there. That's pretty much how it's going. And the ground was kind of wet, and it did make work difficult. We'll get to that in a while, but I think the pinnacle or the peak of it seems to be that we are in the midst or in the middle of having 90 millimetres of rainfall within the space of 24 hours. The last comparable I had, correct me if I'm wrong, my memory here, Brian, but I know it was 35 millimetres in the space of 3 hours was the last time I had the drains pop in my homestead. Was that 2011?
It could have been. There was a number of times around 10, 11 that there was really bad rain. I remember one particular August, and it, in the space of 48 hours, that was the time that the N3 flooded. Do you remember the N3 off the M50
yes.
intersection? That one, that was yep. really bad. Build an arc time.
Well, we're kind of in the middle of that. We had it today. I'm, as you well know, and you know where my home is, we're kind of farmland, County Nowhere. For those who live outside of Ireland or aren't aware of the farming parts of North County Dublin, I wouldn't be too far away from Joe's Crisps, and I also wouldn't be too far away from, let's say, Country Crest. So I'm somewhere in the middle of that. But we're a bit like Emmerdale Farm, just with less things, and that's a wee little town called Ballybohol.
But you had it yesterday as well, Thursday. It saturated the place, and it was saturated before then.
Well, funnily enough, Brian, and for the landscapers out there in the country, for the people who are garden workers, for the people who work in the industry, I mean, they'll empathise with me on this one, but I was out working in a garden yesterday. However, I'm not really one for admitting defeat, but yesterday it just reached a point where we had to turn around and go, okay, enough's enough. There are certain tasks that you just cannot do in the great outdoors. I don't mean in a glasshouse or a greenhouse, but, you know, if you have a garden centre, you probably get away with that one. But in the landscape and trade, there are just certain things you can't do. When the weather, I guess, and you hit the nail on the head there, we had a consistent period of rain. The soil had reached a saturation point. And then I think probably between yesterday day, which was Thursday, and coming in overnight into Friday, it just crucified the place. It became super saturated, and then it became overflowed to my own home. The ditches on the far side of the road, they filled up. The tide was in, and when you do that, and then you bring more rain down through, and all the land is draining down through, it's the equivalent of filling up your bathtub, putting the plug in, and then trying to get more water into it, and that was it. And it just starts to backlog then into where I am at this moment in time. But you can probably hear it a little bit in the background. I'm just standing outside. I've got the boot of the Jeep. It kind of swings upwards, so I'm using that to a bit of a shelter from the rain, which is really coming down heavy now. And that allows me not to have my hood up in. And Russ, I'm just wondering, sorry Brian for my hesitancy, I'm wondering if the rain is actually interfering with the sound coming across the airwaves at this moment in time. But yeah, it's the boot of the Jeep is kind of keep me dry. It's acting out my hood, you might say, at this moment in time.
If you haven't guessed by now, here on The Sod Show, we are doing a special on the weather today, and we make no excuses for doing this. Have a listen to this, Peter. I Google warmest year on record, and Google throws back a very special result, and it says 2014 in a box up the top. The year to date, 2014, is already tied with 1998 as the warmest such period since records began, since record keeping began in 1880. NOAA scientists have said combined land and sea average surface temperatures registered 0.68 Celsius above the 20th century average of 14.1 Celsius. NOAA said that ties with 1998 and 2010 as the warmest period on record. So we've done 3 years that are about the same, but they're really warm years, and we're only 9 months into this year. 11 months into this year. The year is actually, the hot bit is over. They can pretty much say 2014 will go down as the hottest year on record.
But we were also due that, Brian. I mean, you know, again, I can hear the whole horticultural industry powering behind me, like Ireland playing rugby there last weekend. And, 2010 was a total write-off. 11 was a total write-off. 12 was like as if somebody pulled the curtains and left them kind of closed all day. It wasn't entirely bad. There were good patches in between. 13, it kind of perked up. But whoever controls the weather, whoever's that man, that dude sitting in the sky with the remote control for it, he really did owe us one back this year. And I think the whole of the industry really did need it. You know, it was wonderful even when I look back over, and I know we haven't got to our year end yet, but when I look back over it, between the Spirit of Folk Festival, which was pretty good weather, I know you couldn't make it on that occasion, the Garden Centre Congress that we covered when I was camping with Contrast, which was only a short while ago down in Tipperary, and sitting out on a rug and drinking freshly made that morning cider, which I don't normally drink, as a, by the way, and we weren't on a session, but myself and Bernie Goldbach and his family, you know, we did need it, and there were some pretty, if you don't mind me saying, sexy gardens made this year, and a request, and people's interest in the great outdoors, and barbecue sales, and that whole happy thing was absolutely flying. And as regards trends and to what's being done in gardens this year, it's probably set a pretty high bar, one that we haven't seen since maybe 2007. And I know you can say that's a little bit economic, but it's the weather is a huge player. It's the Sun Happiness Index, whatever you want to call it, has a big role to play in that. And then all of a sudden, it seems to me like somebody sat in a remote control, and we had your man from the board, Bia Advert, that dude who does And the Rain, just came along, and everybody just went, whoa, hold on a second, what are you doing? And I'm very, very grateful. I love the industry that I'm in, but I think when you hear the AA Twitter account going off the radar, and our own very own Dublin City FM live drive team going till the latter hours of this evening, I'm sure, and yesterday evening as well, covering essentially rain, and more rain. I guess we don't really realise how big a role that it actually plays in so many people's livelihoods until it actually starts to block up traffic on the motorways in Dublin. And this is what I guess guys like me who studied horticulture are dealing with day in, day out, albeit in smaller circumstances.
But there is a connection. So I'm talking about the warmest year on record, and you're talking about the heavy rain that we're getting, and there is a connection. But does the old adage of make hay while the sun shines apply?
It does, and it doesn't. And again, I'll take the year of 2010, and you know, we've on the sideshow, we know it as the winter of discontent, started in September 2010, and I think in March 2011, I remember going out to build a garden, and the paint was frozen, the paintbrushes were frozen, the bark mulch was still frozen. So again, like, we've had probably 3 years of, you know, kind of get yourself through, and essentially, like, we do have to bear in mind garden centres And again, we heard it on the Garden Centre Congress interviews. You know, the Chris Bades from America spoke about the best garden centres, and he noted himself that the best garden centres were the best businessmen and best business women. They did, albeit work in the horticultural trade, you got to be a good businessman, and you got to turn around and on a day like today or the last 2 weeks, you know, there's a lot to be said for going up to that landscaper and handing them an ice cream or a walnut whip and a cup of tea, and it's obviously just a fictitious thing in my head, and saying, listen, patting the back, don't worry, it'll dry up in the next couple of weeks. You can work your way through, I guess, but I guess people have had about 3-4 years of it not really on side, not just myself, the farmers as well, the potato farmers, and I know, again, previous guests we've had on the show, the Rogers potato growers out near Joe's Chris again, and I remember them telling me that I think it was out of 120 something plus acres of ground that I think there was, is it ridiculous to suggest it was maybe 40, 50, 60 acres were left in the fields solely because they couldn't get them out. So you got to have a little bit of a feel against it. I hear you. I know what you're saying. It's make hay while the sun shines, but if you don't have the sun, and do bear in mind, this is the first decent year that we've had in probably about 5 where we've actually had a summer. People got sunburnt this year, Brian. Irish people with red hair have not experienced that in 5 years.
A quick one before we go to a break for a song, but you know, I just don't know the answer to this question, so I'm not playing devil's advocate at all. As a landscape gardener, and you've got clients and they've got expectations that this job will be finished by such and such a date, and then you get a deluge for 2 weeks of rain, are they understanding that things must shift back?
I'll give you a real live example, a garden that I started 4 weeks ago, and I'm hesitant to put the pardon me for self-pimping, if you want to call it that, but I'm hesitant to put the Donegan landscape into anything that isn't, you know, I mean, absolutely 110% perfection. But in this case, any man who says that the rain didn't interfere either lives in a flipping igloo or he lives underground, and even if you lived underground, you'd still be kind of flawed, but you get where I'm coming from. We were caught up with the weather. We were caught on the job. The job literally finished just yesterday. We were only going out the door. I had to double back to just cover over. And to be honest with you, if I told you there was one day's work that, because of rain, had to be drawn out maybe over a 7-day period, it wouldn't be a word of a lie. And again, for those who want a little bit more in depth on that, it was quite a large garden. I'll throw it up in the Donegan Landscaping blog. I won't be ready for a while, you know, as soon as I get my sock by and I finish the actual work that I'm on, then I'll get to the blog bit. But it was fully plastered walls, which we got done the week before last. They were all done, all the stonework was done, all the patio work was done, the ponds were built, the raised benches, the planters, the plants were all done, all of that was done. The only bits that needed to be done was the walls needed painted white. They can't do that until the plaster dries. You can't paint it even if you get a dry day, because the plaster needs to be entirely dry. Otherwise, people might remember this from the building boom or bust, but you would get bubbling on your paint if you didn't let the plaster dry properly. And equally, on the pointing of the patio slabs, it's a silly one to explain. But if you took a pint glass of pebbles and you threw them in, you fill a pint glass with pebbles, and then you took a handful of and you threw it on top, and then you pour water on top of that, what happens is the smaller granules, or sand in this case, goes to the bottom and the pebbles come to the top. Equally, in pointing sand or in pointing cement mixes, you're using a really fine granule, but you still get that gritty surface comes to the top, and it should be a very, very smooth, almost like a cream cheese as versus porridge, if that makes any sense to you. And again, to overstate it or not to overstate it, it's just finishing touches, but the finishing touches on a garden matter, and they matter a lot. They really, really do. It's a difference between 110% and sure, that'll be grand. And I don't really do that'll be grand, as you would well know at this stage of the game, but it, in that context, yeah, it did hold me up. Client, I have to say, was more than understanding. But I think when you're standing there, and there was a funny remark made to me on Twitter where I'd used my raincoat to cover the power tools because they obviously use electricity, and I don't really like the Don King style of hairstyle, if that makes any sense to you. And I noted that I had won the wettest t-shirt competition, not a wet t-shirt competition, just the wettest t-shirt competition, subcategory super saturation. So yeah, understanding clients, very much so. Contractual obligations, yeah, fair enough, but I think in Ireland there's probably a little bit of the mix about, and working for nice people can never be underestimated.
If you're listening on the podcast, you don't get the song, but we're going to go for a song, something appropriate now. This is Lemon Jelly and Nice Weather for Ducks.
All the ducks are swimming in the water.
All the ducks are swimming in the water. Lemon Jelly, a nice weather for ducks. On 103.2 Dublin City FM, it's the Sod Show. We're talking with Peter Donegan, and it's great to actually have a chat on the radio with Peter, because normally it's interviews from all over the place we're getting these days. But it is good to do. Kind of, we used to do this years ago, and we're back doing it for every, well, twice a year. We get to have a chat on the phone and talk about things. But tell me, we've talked about the deluge of rain that we're going through right now. What can people do themselves if they, you know, say, ah, it's raining, I can't go out and do any gardening? Now, gardeners aren't like that, and I am like that, so I'm not a gardener, right? They will not take the weather as an excuse not to do something. So what is weather appropriate to be doing about your garden around, you know, we're into mid-November?
Yeah, it's a funny one, Brian, and I can nearly tell. I know there's one of the girls in the UK that I know, and she tends to email me irregularly garden articles that have been written. How would you say it? Like the way you might read somebody's star sign. It's a bit one of those, what you should be doing in the garden. Well, you know, if you look to the moon, you look to Saturn, well, your paths might cross with Jupiter, you know, whatever that means. But there's an element maybe of that about it, that some of them are written in that way. At this moment in time, really, if I'm honest with you, if you were to say to me today, yesterday, Thursday, Friday, is there anything you could be doing? Look, if I'm honest, probably realistically not. If you're not doing it for a living, probably not. Just go in, have yourself a cup of tea, or go down to the shed and hide. And if you don't have a shed, well, maybe it's the day that you should go and buy one, or buy that glass house that you were thinking of buying. And again, that will get you that hidey hole out the back where you can have your sneaky cigarette that you're not supposed to be having, even though you're supposed to have given up 20 years ago, but your wife knows still, but she secretly doesn't tell you. There's maybe an element of that about it. I kind of am a little bit, how do you say it? There was a very fine guy, gentleman that I used to know, still know actually, who was, I would have regarded him as a very wise businessman, and he used to tell me when they hit the fan and things weren't going according, then that was the time to spend, kind of when nobody else was spending. And he used to put a fresh coat of paint on the front of the office, and he'd brighten up the cars, and the new business cards would come out, and the sign writing would look that bit brighter, you might say, than everybody else's, when they were kind of pulling their cards back in. I think to analogize that to horticulture, be dead honest with you, Brian, I'm going to tart up the whole front of the house. I'm going to go get the window boxes done. I'm going to go back to old school. I'm going to get the winter bedding plants, some of Pat Fitzgerald's Carex Oschimensis, I would suggest, maybe. He does a lovely range of grasses down there, homegrown Irish plants, born and bred in Kilkenny, and I'm going to get them really cracking for Christmas time. Do the planters outside the front door and really make a bit of a splash this season. Something I, and again, hands up in the air, something I haven't done in a couple of years. I also want to make a couple of planters for outside the front door. I know if anybody's following the blog, they'd kind of know that I'd make them myself. But I think when you do something like that, that gets you in out of the rain, it gets you inside, and it keeps you kind of busy. But it's literally an element of that. If assuming that this freak weather that we're having at this moment in time passes, if I'm really honest with you, I know we're in just on the verge of heading into tree planting season. Most children coming home from school will be talking to their parents about biodiversity, and if you don't mind me saying, the birds and the bees, and, you know, building insect huts and doing all of this kind of malarkey. Go outside. If I had one thing that I could say to you, it would be go outside, pick a tree that suits your garden. You might say tree, I live in a small space, but go and get yourself a tree, plan, pick it out, ask somebody, ask the Sod Show or ask Donegan Gardens on Twitter. We'll recommend you go to your local man and plant one. And then and the only other thing about planting one, I say, is that I always feel like it's when I look at one tree in a garden, it's a bit like watching your dad sitting on his own, and I think you got to give him a friend to stand beside in the garden in the winter months. I always used to think of it when I was about 5 years of age, plants under my bed, grifter, all that malarkey, Sod Show bingo, as Katrina would call it. But that he's kind of has a mate to talk to. He's not lonely. It's a little bit of that about it. I used to see them kind of holding hands. It was only branches rubbing off. That's the way I saw it anyway. If I had my way, and the whole country planted one tree, two trees each, wouldn't the world be a beautiful place?
I hear you. I'm going to take you back to something you were kind of saying in the first half of the programme, and that is that the economy has bounced back. And I'm not going to go all David McWilliams on you, but you were saying it's to do with, you know, we've had a good year weather-wise this year, and a lot of people say that the economy took off in 1990 because the feel-good factor of the World Cup team in Italy and all that kind of stuff. Can good weather give a jolt to the economy, and are you feeling it in the horticultural economy? Are people out there doing up the garden, and what has happened to these gardens over the last 6-7 years of recession?
If I'm honest with you, two things, Brian. The average spend per garden is up. There is no question about that. To go back to the gardens that were done, you might say, in the boom, that were maybe a little bit extraordinary in some cases, you might find a lot of them have gone a little bit by the way. Now, that's not entirely to do with money. It's more, again, we would have had that minus 18 Celsius happen in the winter of 2010, and then we would have had the flash flood. So a lot of plants got floored. A lot of them went into the boxing ring with Mike Tyson, and they just got battered. And that kind of solves that one. So gardens, something Matthew Jebb, the head of the Botanic Gardens, would have said to me a long time ago, you know, whether you like it or not, nature will take, I don't want to mince his words, but nature will change things if you don't. And I think the words that he used was, if you don't change your garden every 10 to 15 years, it begins to look a little bit decrepit. It's a line that I've used in some of the garden talks that I've done over the last 2 years, but you know, there's an element of that about it.
Brilliant. Peter, we have run out of time. Have you anything for finals in the news department, or should we just direct people to the sodshow.com/news?
I know Philip Murta sent me on a link. That's the first thing. And also, we noted them last week, but the Royal Horticultural Society of Ireland, they have their funding campaign that they're looking to do. We're trying to get them on the show, literally trying as we speak. I was in touch with them, didn't get an answer this week, but then probably like me, I'd say the phone was left in the Jeep just to keep it dry out of this delightful weather that we're having. So again, we'll put all the notes in today's programme, I assume, up on sodshow.com. And if you're stuck, and this is in the future, at Sodshow on Twitter or facebook.com/thesodshow. In the meantime, I have to go off and try on my bikini and try and grow a pair of web feet, Brian. So I'm going to go back, and it's, what have we got? We've got about an hour and a half before it gets dark today, Friday, yeah. And I'm still a little bit wet. So yeah, a little bit of work still to do. So I'll leave you finish off the show, and I'll hopefully maybe see you over the weekend for a brandy hot port or some kind of thing that maybe warms your cockles.
Thanks, Peter. If you ever have rung Peter's phone, it says that he's outdoors, the phone's indoors, and it's better for both of us. Ring his number, see what happens. 103.2 Dublin City FM, with thanks to our sponsors, greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at greensax.ie. Check them out in the supermarket, where you can drop them into your trolley. This has been The Sod Show. Thanks to Katrina Redmond, who operates the blog at sodshow.com/news. We're back next Friday at 3 p.m. Do take care, have a great week, and stay dry. Goodbye.